Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 4th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures and European equities rise ahead of U.S.-China trade talks.
Stocks in Japan tumble as traders return from a four-day holiday.
Wall Street awaits the final jobs report for 2018, while economists expect labor gains to slow in the new year.
I'm John Stashower in sports. David Robertson is leaving the Yankees for the Phillies. Another win for the Red Hot Islanders. They won in overtime. The Yukon women suffered their first regular season loss in over 4 years.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures are following European equities higher amid fresh optimism on U.S.-China trade talks. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 30 points this morning. Dow futures up 256. NASDAQ futures up 96. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. CAC in Paris up 1.2%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2.25%. While the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 2.25%. 10-year Treasury down 15/32nds. Yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or 93 cents to $48.03 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.60 to $12.92.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1401, and the yen, 108.04. And this update brought to you by SEI, with an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles. SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, China's confirming trade talks with the U.S. will begin Monday. Officials from the countries talked on the phone today. That is giving a boost to stocks in Hong Kong and China. It's a different story in Japan, though, with traders playing catch-up after a four-day holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed lower by 2.3% in Tokyo after earlier posting losses of more than 3.5%. Apple suppliers like Japan Display and Sharp were the biggest losers, while the yen slipped after Thursday's shock surge. Apple suppliers in Taipei also remained under pressure, the Taiex closing lower by 1.2%, but the CSI 300 rose by 2.4% in China as concern over trade tension eased by the confirmation of next week's talks. And the Taishin Services PMI read came in better than expected for the month of December at 53.9. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. While that outlook cut from Apple continues to weigh on Asian suppliers, it's more than just an iPhone story. 46% of U.S. companies issuing estimates for the fourth quarter have also revised their outlook lower. Kevin Hassett, chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, expects that to continue until there's a U.S.-China trade deal.
You know, and it's not going to be just Apple. I think that there are a heck of a lot of U.S. companies that have a lot of sales in China, watching their earnings be downgraded next year until, you know, we get a deal with China.
Hassett tells CNN he thinks the economic pain gives President Trump leverage in trade negotiations.
Meanwhile, the People's Bank of China is stepping up support for the economy. After the close of trading in China today, the central bank cut the reserve ratio for lenders by 1 percentage point. The move releases cash into the economy to help support growth.
Stocks in Europe are climbing on this final trading day of the week, and Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yeah, the Stock 600 up by 1.25%. Now, every sector gaining, but with led by the miners and the energy stocks. That is oil heads for its biggest weekly gain since 2017. Also had a bit of data through the Euro area December services PMI coming in at 51.2, just short of the 51.4 preliminary figure, but still in expansionary territory as it's above 50, and inflation slowing to 1.6% in December across the Eurozone. The estimate was for 1.7, just so a little miss there. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Seb, thanks. Well, here in the U.S., we get the December employment report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a gain of 184,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
2018 was a banner year for America's labor market. Today's data will probably show an annual gain of 2.45 million jobs, the strongest in 3 years. But economists say 2018's huge gains are unlikely to repeat over the next 12 months. There's evidence the U.S. economy is losing momentum. Bloomberg Economics says keep an eye on interest rate-sensitive sectors, from housing to autos. For now, though, many businesses continue to report labor shortages. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And after that jobs report, we get remarks from Jerome Powell, who takes part in a panel with Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is there.
The Fed chair is the man of the hour for the markets. Investors who've blamed the central bank for December's equity slump are hoping to hear Powell make the case for a pause. His appearance is timely, even if the forum is not quite perfect. The current chair shares a stage at the American Economic Association annual meeting with former chairs Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen. Expect Powell to make the case the Fed isn't on a preset course and will react to data, a stance his predecessors will no doubt endorse. But as Yellen is the architect of the Fed's balance sheet reduction policy, it's unlikely Powell would suggest any change. In Atlanta, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you, and we'll bring you live coverage of that panel at 10 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And after that, we'll hear from Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, who sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. You can catch that conversation on Bloomberg Radio and Television today at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
It was a horrible year for hedge funds, but Anthony Scaramucci's return to the industry worked out well. Skybridge Capital, the investment firm run by the former White House communications director, made money in one of the worst years ever for hedge funds. Unaudited returns for the firm's two funds were 3.6% and 4.5% after fees. Still, clients pulled money from Skybridge, with assets under management dropping by nearly $2.5 billion. And again, futures are rising this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr on this Friday morning to find out what's happening in the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. House Democrats have passed a plan to reopen the government without funding President Donald Trump's promised border wall. However, Senate Republicans and President Trump oppose the plan. The largely party-line votes came after the president made a surprise appearance at the White House briefing room, pledging to keep up the fight for his signature campaign promise. The partial government shutdown is now pushing into its third week, and as time drags on, President Trump's leverage appears to be fading. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
The message from Democrats now back in control of the House is unmistakable. What part of no don't you understand?
We're not doing a wall.
Newly reinstalled House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's hard line illustrates how little leverage the president has gained over 2 weeks. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer sounds more adamant than ever.
We don't think it's the proper or most efficient means to keep our country safe.
As Democrats accuse him of holding federal workers hostage, Trump is standing firm.
Without a wall, you cannot have border security. It won't work.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
More talks are scheduled at the White House with President Trump and lawmakers today. Hours after she assumed leadership of the chamber, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited President Trump to give his State of the Union speech on January 29th. New reports indicate that former Virginia Senator Jim Webb may be in line to be the next defense secretary. The death toll in a highway crash in Florida is now at 7. Two big rigs and two passenger vehicles collided on Interstate 75 near Gainesville yesterday, spilling diesel fuel across the highway and causing a huge fire. Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Patrick Reardon.
Those two tractor trailers caught on fire, as well as a passenger car caught on fire. The damage from the fire was pretty extensive.
Seven others were hurt. Italy's populist leaders are in a bind over another bank in crisis. Bloomberg's John Fillane has more from Rome.
Italy's populist leaders loved to denounce bankers before they came to power. Now they have to deal with Banca Carige, a lender which the European Central Bank has placed in temporary administration. Deputy Premiers Luigi Di Maio and Matteo Salvini don't want to be seen using taxpayers' money. But finding a larger bank to step in is proving a challenge. In Rome, John Fillane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Islanders are hot. Last night they were back at their old stomping ground, the Nassau Coliseum. They won their fifth game in a row, ninth of the last 10, 3-2 over Chicago. Devin Taves picked a good time for his first ever NHL goal, put in his own rebound for the game winner at 148 of overtime. Good NBA doubleheader. It began with Kawhi Leonard's return to San Antonio. He had forced a trade, came back, mostly booed by Spurs fans who enjoyed San Antonio's rout of Toronto. DeMar DeRozan, who the Spurs got in that trade, had a triple-double. And so did James Harden. He scored 44 points. He made 10 three-pointers, including the game-winning shot. 2 seconds left in overtime. Houston won at Golden State 135-134. College hoops. Manhattan dropped to 2-11, losing to Quinnipiac. Monmouth now 1-13, a 17-point loss at Iona. LIU lost to Sacred Heart. Wagner beat Central Connecticut. The UConn women lost at Baylor. First regular season defeat in over 4 years. They had won 126 in a row. The Phillies have signed reliever David Robertson, so his second stint with the Yanks is over. Sunday in Houston, a 7-year-old girl was killed in a drive-by shooting. Texans star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is now donating his playoff game check, $29,000, to her family.
I hate to hear what happened. You know, the city of Houston, you know, is always supportive of me, of this team. So, you know, I felt in my heart, you know, it's only right that I give back to those who are down. And, you know, what I can do, that's nothing. That won't bring back, you know, a person. So, you know, I'm not trying to make it all about me or anything like that. But, you know, at least I could do.
Houston hosts Indianapolis tomorrow to start the NFL playoffs. So the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We speak with 16W marketing partner Frank Vuono, a leader in sports sponsorships, licensing, and merchandising. He's consulted for more than half the teams in the NFL. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:11 on Wall Street, ahead of the December jobs report and more Fed speak from Chairman Jerome Powell. We speak with Mark Vidner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. He joins us next on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day, and stocks are climbing across Europe and Asia. U.S. stock index futures are pointing to a stronger open. This is the world's two largest economies scheduled fresh trade negotiations next week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 31 points. Dow futures up 266. NASDAQ futures up 99. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 15 30 seconds, yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% or 95 cents to $48.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.40 to $12.92.40 an ounce. The euro at $1.1401 and the yen weakening after yesterday's surge at 108.04. We are watching for the December jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time, and shares of Apple are higher this morning, up 1.3% in early trading after falling 10% in regular trading yesterday. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi are digging in their heels when it comes to financing a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. President Trump is pledging to keep up the fight to build the wall and wants billions of dollars allocated in the budget. Yesterday, House Democrats passed a plan to reopen the government without funding for a wall. The president and lawmakers plan to meet at the White House again today. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime over the Blackhawks 3-2. The Bruins won. The Capitals lost. In the NBA, the Warriors lost in overtime to the Rockets. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 5:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on this Jobs Friday. We're joined by Mark Vidner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Of course, we're getting ready for the final jobs report of 2018, a year that saw strong jobs growth month over month. Are we expecting that to continue?
We are expecting a pretty decent report this morning. We're looking for 165,000, which is below consensus. But, I think that, a pretty decent number. The unemployment rate should either hold steady or drop a tenth of a percentage point.
Why are you on the low end?
We're on the low end just because the economy seems to have been losing momentum. I know we got that blockbuster ADP report yesterday, but there seems to be a big disconnect between what ADP says in December and what BLS shows in December. I think that that we may see a little more weakness in manufacturing, even though the ISM has pointed to some gains there. I think we could see some weakness there. One thing that'll be interesting to watch is construction, which has been very weak because we've had so much rain throughout much of the East. We may see a little bit of a rebound there, and the seasonals may amplify that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen quite a disconnect of late between where the jobless numbers have gone and, so many other economic indicators like manufacturing, like the housing starts, that sort of thing. Is this the time now, as we head into 2019, that we start to see more convergence in the data?
Well, that's what we're thinking we're going to see. It's the employment report. The employment numbers used to be a coincident indicator, and I think they're still officially thought of as a coincident indicator, but the data seems to be more of a lagger now. And the economy clearly slowed in the fourth quarter, with the exception of consumers, which caught a break with lower gasoline prices. But I think we're going to see more of the evidence of that slowdown in the employment numbers as we move into 2019.
And as we move into 2019, the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, has said that the central bank is going to be more data dependent. What will that mean for the rate path going forward?
You know, I think that they're still trying to figure out what data they need to be dependent on. But in terms of the rate path, I think that the Fed's probably on hold through the first half of the year. And, I think that the big hurdle that we need to cross is we need to clear the hurdle that related to the China trade negotiations. We need to get some sort of deal with China. But even if we were to get a deal tomorrow, the Fed couldn't start raising rates again and continue raising rates, because you got to see how much damage has been done to the economy, how much damage is likely to linger. So I think that puts the earliest that they could hike rates into the second half of the year. And the markets are now priced for a cut. And I think that they have it about right. I think that there is probably a slightly greater chance that the Fed cuts rates next, that their next move will be to cut rates, than it will be to raise them, although it may not happen until 2020.
Are you expecting that we might hear some indications from Powell himself that might be the thinking as he goes on this panel in Atlanta later on this morning?
I don't think he'll go that far. I mean, the Fed doesn't need to overcommit to that. They're data dependent. They need to see some more data. And I don't know that this morning's employment report is going to clear that up. I think there's some real questions about the employment data. The unemployment rate below 4%, is that real? Today people use online job platforms to find jobs. And so many people that in the past would have been unemployed are now employed. They're just looking for better jobs. That theory seems to match up better with what you see in the quits, which we've seen a rising number of quits, yet we haven't seen any upward pressure on wages. So I think some of these old relationships that the Fed has been relying on are breaking down due to advances in technology, and I think they really need to take that into account. So they're really spooked by the 3.7%, 3.6% unemployment rate, but maybe 3.6. But I don't think they should be, because it really isn't coming. We haven't seen a whole lot of evidence that it's pushing through to higher wages.
It's an interesting point to make in our last minute here. How does the Fed adjust to that new reality in how the employment picture is made up here? It sounds like a big adjustment for a central bank to make, repivoting toward online employment.
Yeah, I think that it means that you have to move more cautiously, and you have to really wonder that, okay, we took the federal funds rate just a little bit above 2%, and we've gotten this monster size reaction in the financial markets. So that's your big wake up call there, and it tells you that you need to proceed cautiously. We probably don't have to push rates up as high as we have in the past. The other thing that the Fed has to think about is the economy more interest rate sensitive or less interest rate sensitive at these low levels of interest rates? There's been a big debate about that. I think we clearly have seen that the economy is more interest rate sensitive.
Always great to get your insights. Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Fascinating discussion ahead of the jobs report out at 8:30 Wall Street time, followed by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell being joined by former Fed Chairs Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. We'll have full coverage starting at 10 Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And taking a forward look at the markets at 5:25 on Wall Street, they are pointed higher. S&P futures up 29 points, Dow futures up 245, NASDAQ futures up about 94 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. Trade optimism has U.S. futures and stocks in Europe rising to close out the trading week. Efforts to end a partial government shutdown are also helping send S&P futures higher on the heels of yesterday's 2.5% plunge.
All right, so here are the latest numbers now. Dow futures are up more than 250 points after yesterday's 660-point decline. S&P futures up 1.2%. The Stoxx Europe 600 is rising about 1.25%, while stocks in China gained 2.4%. Japan's Nikkei fell 2.25% as traders returned from an extended New Year's break.
As for trade, on Monday, the U.S. and China will hold their first round of talks since Donald Trump and Xi Jinping agreed to a 90-day truce in Argentina last month.
Meanwhile, China's central bank acted to release cash into the economy to support growth, cutting the amount of money lenders must hold as reserves by 1 percentage point.
Investors await this morning's jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 184,000 jobs in December, with average hourly earnings rising 0.3%. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
For a change, Wall Street's focus may return to the number of jobs created rather than average hourly earnings. Investors have been looking at earnings and the potential for higher inflation for clues to future Fed moves. But with price indexes falling, they've priced out any Fed move in January. Instead, the December jobs number may matter more. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And after the jobs report, we get remarks from Jerome Powell. The Fed chairman takes part in a panel with Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. We'll bring that to you live at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
In the eurozone, inflation hit an eight-month low in December, just as the European Central Bank stopped adding stimulus to the economy. Consumer prices increased an annual 1.6% in December, down from 1.9% in November.
And in Germany, unemployment fell to a record low, extending its five-year decline as companies signaled confidence in Europe's largest economy.
And now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are up 29 points this morning. Dow futures up 246 and NASDAQ futures are up 93. DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32, yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil up 2% of 92 cents to $48.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is down to 0.2%, down $2.20 to $12.92.60 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Michael. Michael. Michael's coming up. Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Hi, Michael Barr.
Hi, Nathan. The new House Democratic majority voted to end the partial government shutdown, but brought Congress no closer to resolving the impasse over President Donald Trump's demand to pay for a border wall. The president and Senate Republicans oppose the Democrats' plan, and the next effort to reopen the closed agencies will come when leaders of both parties meet with President Trump at the White House this morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke to reporters.
We're not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we're not doing a wall?
President Trump says the wall is very popular.
Having a drone fly overhead, and I think nobody knows much more about technology, this type of technology, certainly, than I do. Having drones and various other form of sensors, they're all fine, but they're not going to stop the problems that this country has.
And as Democrats have taken over control of the House, Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports it looks as if Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross will be called in to testify.
With control of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform and Elijah Cummings, a new chair, saying we're going to ask him to come in, a main topic, he says, will be allegations by committee Democrats that Ross had given misleading testimony on multiple occasions to Congress about a decision to add a question about citizenship to the 2020 census. Democrats in the past have said that Ross may have committed a criminal offense if he was not truthful about how that decision came about. Cummings says it's not known yet whether they'll need a subpoena. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New reports indicate that Jim Webb, one-time presidential candidate and former Virginia senator, may be in line to be the next defense secretary. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
Officials tell the New York Times the Trump administration is considering Jim Webb, who is an outspoken opponent of the Iraq war and a supporter of getting tougher on China. During a debate while running for president in 2016, the Democrat railed against Beijing's actions in the South China Sea and cyber attacks on Americans. He was also against the Iran nuclear deal. The former Marine served as Navy Secretary and Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
At least seven people are dead in Florida after a fiery collision on Interstate 75 near Gainesville yesterday. Rain, winds, and surging seawater are striking southern Thailand, threatening coastal villages and popular tourist resorts as a tropical storm makes landfall. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
Thank you, Michael. It is 5:36 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Houston and Golden State met last spring in the West Finals. Warriors won in seven games. Rockets have struggled for much of this season, but they're hot now, especially reigning MVP James Harden, who put on a show last night at Golden State. Rockets came from 20 points down and late in overtime, trailed by two.
Gerald Green to inbound. Harden trying to get free. Down to three, down to two. It's a three. Good! Good! He got it! James Harden, a flamethrower! Incredible shot!
It's Kevin Harlan, TNT. It was Harden's 10th three-pointer. He scored 44 points. He's averaging 43 a game during Houston's six-game winning streak. They beat the Warriors 135-134. And drama and overtime on Long Island, where the Islanders periodically go back and play. Last night hosting Chicago.
Knocked it back. Here's Bailey. Walks in. Sent it a shot. Stealing a rebound. They score! Bailey made the first save. The rebound came loose. Devin Taves, in his fifth ever NHL game, has a GWG.
That's game-winning goal. First ever NHL goal for Taves. NBCSN the call. Islanders won 3-2. They've won five in a row. UConn women had won 126 in a row in regular season play. They lost at Baylor. First regular season loss in over 4 years. Two-time Yankee reliever David Robertson spoke with the Yanks, but elected to move on and sign with the Phillies for 2 years and $23 million, and he saved over $1 million by not using an agent. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story, President Trump's love-hate relationship with the stock market. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
For the first year or so of Trump's presidency, there was a bump. The market reacted very positively. But the trend is definitely not his friend lately.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. On this Friday morning, we bring in Bloomberg's Ed Khoury.
Morning, Nathan. A federal judge has blocked a New York City law intended to crack down on Airbnb and other online home sharing sites. The Times reports the measure, which was set to go into effect next month, would have required home sharing services to disclose details about tens of thousands of listings and their hosts. A couple of New Jersey's leading healthcare institutions are joining forces. The merger between Hackensack Meridian Health and the 100-year-old Carrier Clinic, which specializes in addiction and psychiatric care, is the first of its kind in New Jersey, according to NJ Spotlight. A United Van Line study shows that Connecticut is among the top 10 states people are moving away from, according to the company's data. A report from U-Haul, meanwhile, suggests Connecticut is sinking fast among growth states it ranks based on people who rent trucks from them. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about insurance companies suing PG&E over wildfire damage.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about the agribusiness giant Cargill using its reach to exploit volatile markets amid the trade war.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on UK house prices posting their slowest annual growth in 5 years.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting American carmakers posted lackluster sales numbers for December.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following this morning, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn will finally get his day in court. Ghosn has been in a Tokyo jail cell since he was arrested in November on financial crimes. On Tuesday, he'll be in a district court where his lawyers will ask why he's still in jail. Prosecutors have extended Ghosn's detention several times. Taking a look at the markets on this Friday morning ahead of the open, they are pointed higher with S&P futures up 31 points, Dow futures up 265 points, and NASDAQ futures up 99 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day, and stocks are climbing across Europe and Asia, and U.S. stock index futures are pointing to a stronger open. This is the world's two largest economies, scheduled fresh trade negotiations next week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 32 points, Dow futures up 265, and NASDAQ futures up 103. DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 13/32nds, yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% or 85 cents to $47.94 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.50 at $12.92.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1401, and the yen, 107.95. And the December jobs report is out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. House Democrats approved two bills yesterday that would effectively end the government shutdown. But neither bill is expected to come to the Republican-led Senate vote because they don't include any money for a border wall President Trump wants. This ahead of an expected meeting later this morning between the president and congressional leaders. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime over the Blackhawks 3-2. The Bruins won. The Capitals lost. In the NBA, the Warriors lost in overtime to the Rockets. In baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies have agreed to a 2-year contract with reliever David Robertson. Robertson, who is 33, pitched for the Yankees last season. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That is our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London Bureau. She's Bloomberg Opinion Editor. And Jen, not only is this Jobs Day in the U.S., it's also the day we hear from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell on a panel in Atlanta. And Mohamed El-Erian says that Powell must regain control of the Fed narrative. I guess he gets a chance to do that today. But what is it that El-Erian says Powell has lost control of?
It's really the effectiveness of the central bank's communication strategy. I mean, to be sure, the Fed's pronouncements are just as important and influential as ever. But what El-Erian points out is what's changed is their impact on volatility. So there's a long list of people second-guessing the Fed's policy approach, and it policy approach, and it doesn't help that this is headed by the President of the United States. But also, El Arian points out that the central bank's communications efforts themselves have really suffered. So just to take an example, about 2 days after the Fed's FOMC policy meeting in December, the New York Fed President John Williams had to then clarify what Powell had already said at a news conference.
So does El Arian think then that Powell can turn things around and get the message back on track?
He does. He thinks that there's a three-point message that Powell could give to markets and politicians, which really would start to get everything on the right track. Start off by telling listeners that the U.S. economy remains solid, although the balance of risk has undoubtedly shifted more to the downside. Second, that the Fed's sensitive to the possibility of spillovers from volatile markets. And third, that all of the Fed's tools are on the table. So this could sort of do the job.
So those are 3 points there. I mean, can Powell do that with one speech? I mean, even today?
Yeah, I mean, and this is what I meant by saying this would sort of do the job, because the broader reality is that for central banks are all mostly having gone from repressors of volatility to contributors of volatility. So success in altering communications would reduce the risk of a policy mistake, especially one that could be forced on the Fed by the words and actions of others.
All right, let's move on to issues overseas. Ferdinando Giugliano is taking a look at Italy's ongoing issues, saying Italy can't isolate its naughty bankers. Of course, last year, a populist government swept into power, pledging never to allow taxpayers to bail out banks. How's that working out?
It's not great. You'll remember that Italy's administration ended last year with a huge U-turn in their debut budget. And now they've got another awkward choice, because the ECB has put in a special administration at Banca Carige, which is a mid-sized lender, after its shareholders rejected a plan to raise capital. There's a risk that the bank burns quickly through any new money that it receives, and that would make it impossible for it to carry on a loan. And this is where the trouble for the government really starts.
Yeah, I mean, just how stuck is the populist government here?
They're really pretty stuck. I mean, Giugliano points out a hard law of banking is that in the absence of a private sector solution for an ailing bank, there's no option other than bailing out existing investors or making them take losses. And so his take on what the populist movement tried to do is to hide this fact by distinguishing between naughty bankers who ought to be punished and poor investors who must be saved. But really what he says, any step the government takes on this case will no doubt involve a choice between letting the lender go belly up or pouring money into the loathed banking sector.
Well, besides Banca Carige, can't another bank come to the rescue?
Well, he says, Giugliano says that the most realistic option is indeed that. And there is some precedent here in Italy's recent history. In 2017, there were two Venetian banks that were bailed out. But really, the government is going to have to splash out to convince any lender to come to the rescue, and initially going to have to impose some losses, which will break their pledge to safeguard small investors. So this is a case, once again, of the populists discovering how hard it is to live up to their outlandish promises.
Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from our London bureau. Jen, thanks as always. Again, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell speaks with that panel with former Fed chairs Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke from Atlanta right around 10 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. And you can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Customers can type in OPIN. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Google continued to reduce its taxes for another year by taking advantage of loophole structures. This time, the search engine shifted another $22.6 billion through the Netherlands to Bermuda. Democrats have passed a name change for the panel once known as the Education and Workforce Committee. The new name is the Committee on Education and Labor. And a federal court has ruled New York University Langone Hospitals can challenge the copyright on an eye movement test recently adapted to help diagnose concussions as it fends off an infringement suit.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Now, in other legal news, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts says the federal judiciary is putting measures in place to address sexual harassment and other forms of workplace misconduct in U.S. courthouses. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Steve Sanders, a professor at Indiana University's Maurer School of Law.
This end-of-the-year report focuses on an important issue. It focuses primarily on issues of incivility and sexual misconduct in the workplace. It notes that although the judiciary studies indicate that although the judiciary does somewhat better and compares favorably on that score compared to other government offices, it's not perfect. And so the Chief Justice, together with what's called the Judicial Conference of the United States, which is a couple of dozen federal judges chaired by the Chief Justice, is in the process of updating the judiciary's code of conduct and attempting to provide some new mechanisms so that workplace misconduct, workplace harassment, and incivility can be more readily reported and dealt with.
The year started with the resignation of a well-known judge and a well-respected judge on the Ninth Circuit, Alex Kaczynski, after allegations of sexual misconduct. And that, of course, is why the chief had that working panel in place. But what this report seems to bring up, in my mind, is the problem of judicial accountability or the self-policing of the federal judges. Kaczynski retired, and so no action was taken against him. And 83 claims against now Justice Brett Kavanaugh were simply dismissed because he became a justice of the court. So where is the accountability?
I think the Kavanaugh case probably has to be regarded as a unique issue and a unique question because it dealt with a conduct of his that occurred for the most part long before he became a federal judge. The allegations were aired in hearings and ultimately passed on. This report really is focusing more on the courts that do the day-to-day work, the district courts and the appellate courts below the level of the Supreme Court. And I think this report is an effort to show that the judiciary can be accountable. And I think like many self-governing organizations that want to preserve their independence, the judiciary is one, academia, universities and colleges are others. They need to show that they're taking the business of self-policing seriously. And so I think that's what this report focusing on a stronger code of conduct and stronger reporting and disciplinary procedures is intended to do.
As Steve Sanders, professor at Indiana University's Maurer School of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures are higher this morning. So are shares of Apple, up 1.8% in early trading. This is after the shares fell 10% in regular trading yesterday. And right now, NYMEX crude oil is also rising, up 1.9% at $47.99 a barrel. That's up 90 cents. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.